Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be going to the record store. I'll be back later. Bye.
This is Patrick Foster, and you are listening to the Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate everybody who's listening every day. Today we're going to kick off a little segment that you heard a hint of yesterday when a bunch of us were driving to the record store at Suburbs Fest Midwest, and we will have some recordings that we did out there in Chicagoland that'll be coming up soon. But in the meantime, we're going to launch a little segment about what was the first record you bought with your own money, not money you borrowed from your mom or something that your dad bought for you. But what did you buy with your own money? Whether that money was your allowance money, or you got it chopping lawns, or delivering papers, or babysitting, or something like that. What was the first record that you deemed worthy enough to spend your own money on? We have a couple submissions today. We want you to record a voice memo similar to what you do for new music and send it to rock@suburbspod.com if you want to get in on this. You can also call our suburban party line, 612-440-1984. And you can leave us a message there. Just dial us up and let us know what was that first record. And yesterday you heard Bob Peterson talk about an album he bought, but we're going to hear from Bob today about a cassette he bought, which is literally the first thing he bought with his own money. So let's turn it over to Bob Peterson. And following that, we're going to hear from our good friend Mark Neese about the first thing he purchased. So let's get those tapes queued up, hit play, and find out.
Hello, Jim and Patrick, and fellow Rockin' the Suburbs podcasters. This is Bob Peterson, and I'm calling in with the very first album that I bought. It was Led Zeppelin IV in the summer of 1981. And there were three things that led me to buying this album. First, I discovered classic rock for myself. You see, when I was a young child, my older siblings always had the radio on, and I loved what they loved. And I loved what they wanted me to love. They actually bought me albums like the Beatles' second album and Elton John's Greatest Hits, and I got to play them on my little record player. But by the time I hit middle school, they had moved away, so I was left to my own devices to discover music. I was listening to classic rock, and I realized there was a lot of classic rock that I liked that they didn't expose me to, mostly the hard rock and heavy metal. And Led Zeppelin were the kings. I loved everything they had on the radio, and I thought Stairway to Heaven was the greatest song ever written. The second thing was when I went to summer camp. I was around a bunch of kids who started buying their own music and listened to what they had. And the album I listened to the most at camp was Led Zeppelin IV. I realized there were a lot of songs on that album that I recognized from the classic rock radio. The hits like Stairway and Black Dog. But I really fell in love with the deep cuts that I had never heard, such as Going to California, Battle of Evermore, When the Levee Breaks, etc. And man, when I heard that, I thought those guys were greater than the Beatles. So the third thing that led me to buying that was I had a disposable income. I was mowing lawns and making money for the first time. So for my 14th birthday, after my parents bought me a boombox with a cassette player, I went down to Mainstream Records and bought three cassettes: Led Zeppelin IV, Aerosmith's Greatest Hits, and The Doors' Greatest Hits. But I consider Led Zeppelin IV the main purchase because that's the album I was most stoked about. And to this day, I still love it, although now I'm sick of Stairway.
Oh, Hello, Jim and Patrick, and interns and listeners. This is Mark Neese calling from Okemos, Michigan. And I just called to weigh in on the subject that Patrick suggested, which was the first record that you bought, or the first record that you remember buying with your own money. The earliest one that I can remember buying with my own money, money that I'd actually saved by myself and not money that was given to me, was Simon and Garfunkel's 1982 Concert in Central Park album. I did a little research to make sure that I'm pretty sure have my dates right on this. But the concert took place on September 19th, 1981, but was not broadcast on HBO until February 21st, 1982. I somehow remember it. I somehow was thinking that I had seen the concert on HBO in the fall, but I think my memory was faulty, so I must have seen it when it was originally aired on HBO in February of 82. And I don't, for some reason, I remember being very intrigued when I saw the listing for that concert. I didn't really know that much about Simon and Garfunkel at the time. I was 13 years old at the time. My parents had a couple Simon and Garfunkel albums, but I don't know that I even really listened to them. At least I don't remember listening to them. So I went into watching that concert, not really knowing much of anything about Simon and Garfunkel. I'm sure that I recognized many of the songs once I watched it. The Paul Simon solo songs, along with all the Simon and Garfunkel hits that were played in the concert. But yeah, I remember watching it, and just for whatever reason, the music really, really touched me at age 13. I just became Simon and Garfunkel obsessed at age 13. And I don't even know when I found out that an album was going to be released of the concert. I don't remember hearing about it. At least, it's so long ago. I must have heard about it somewhere. But I do distinctly remember saving money for it, probably money that I'd earned from babysitting or maybe shoveling driveways or something. And it was a double album, so it had to have cost probably at least $14 or $15, which is a small fortune for a kid. So, it probably took me, who knows, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month to save up the money for it. But I do remember driving with my parents to the Fashion Square Mall outside of Saginaw, Michigan, which is, of course, appropriate, since Saginaw is mentioned in the Simon and Garfunkel song America. Anyway, went to the Fashion Square Mall, went to the Camelot Music, and this must have been shortly after the album was released, because I have a distinct memory of the album being phased out at Camelot Music. At least I think it's a distinct memory. Who knows? It was there, and I think it was pretty prominent. And I grabbed it and forked over my, whatever, $15, $16, $17 for it. Took it home and listened to it over and over and over again for months. And, eventually accumulated all of Simon and Garfunkel's albums. There's not really that many of them. But, I bought them all and, was a big Simon and Garfunkel fan. Still am a big Simon and Garfunkel and Paul Simon fan. But it all started there with Simon and Garfunkel's concert in Central Park. back in 1982 when I was 14 years old. So that's about all I have. Hope you're doing well, and keep on rocking the suburbs. We'd like to know a little bit about you for our files. We'd like to help you learn to help yourself. Look around you, all you see are sympathetic eyes. Stroll around the grounds until you feel at home. And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, and Mrs. Robinson. Heaven knows a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hiding in a hiding place where no one ever goes. In your pantry with your cookies. It's a little secret, it's just the Robinson's affair. Most of all, you've got to hide it from the kids. Coo-coo-ca-choo, this is Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, this is Robinson. Heaven knows a place for those who pray.
Ladies and gentlemen, Simon and Garfunkel.